This is Season 8, Episode 7 of Beyond the Illusion. Testing the waters with River Roaring. In this episode, we have a conversation with River Roaring. River joins us in an amazing conversation where we cover a lot of ground. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation because River has such a unique and surprising journey. Plus, she's a great storyteller. Let's go to that conversation now with River Roaring, Tiana Roser, and myself, Tim Howe.
Spiritual path, that can be something because as we become more sensitive, we sense and feel other energies, or maybe like when I teach a Reiki class, a lot of the times the people that come to take the class are really good givers, but not very good receivers. And so how we can figure out how to express our needs or set boundaries when we have a big heart. I think this is a really useful topic on the spiritual journey. So somebody had mentioned this Wheel of Consent workshop that you do and how helpful it is. And I really don't know all the details, and I would love to kind of start there and hear about your work in that area.
Well, thanks, Tiana. Yeah, the Wheel of Consent is such a beautiful model for our desire and our limits. And I learned about it about 12 years ago from its creator, Betty Martin. And what it is a body-based wisdom teaching, in my opinion. And it is that we learn to tune in really deeply with our own body. And when I say that, I mean the physical sensations in my body. Because it's a lot of times when I work with my clients, a lot of times people can't really even name the physical sensations, you know, to even start out by doing that. And a lot of people want to start by naming emotion. Like, well, I feel calm, I feel peaceful, but we really go down to the level of physical sensation. Like I feel a tickle in my belly. I feel a clenching in my heart space or whatever the actual sensation is in the body. And the reason we get that detailed is because my head up here has 55 years of data and information, but my body has 4 billion years of wisdom. As you know, all of the history of life on earth is in every cell of my body. So we start by getting really embodied with some simple practices. And then from there, I can hear my body's wisdom because that is always the right answer. And so then I can start to listen to my own body tell me when I'm actually a no to something. And that in the Wheel of Consent, we call a limit. And so what we practice is getting more and more true to our own body, right? And kindly and lovingly saying no when we're a no and not going along otherwise. You know, in the spiritual community, I love the difference between service to self and service to others. It's such an important distinction for me in my life. And I have dedicated my life to service of others. There's no doubt about it, my overall orientation, right? Rather than service to myself. But within that, that doesn't mean that I'm serving others every minute of every day. It can't mean that. And that's what I think a lot of people start thinking is I just need to give only. My mother holds her Christian spirituality in that way. So she's like, all I do is give. I don't need anything for myself. That would be greedy. But what we recognize is, no, if I'm not full, and if I'm giving when I'm draining myself, my body was telling me I was done already, but I betrayed that and I kept giving, then of course I am actually not staying full. So then I cannot give all of my gifts to the rest of the world, right? Because then I'm drained. And so that's the, like the really big picture of it. And in the Wheel of Consent, we focus both on the limit and that side of the when my body says no. Then we also, the more fun side for me even, is the desire side. And we look for where desire comes from down below the head also, so that we're working with a deeper level of embodied desire And we start to hear that desire. And so once we get into this whole system, which my weekend goes into, then I am now able to live from my body's wisdom day to day. And people talk about following the energy. In our system, it's kind of more like following the body. It is very specific to sensation. It's helping me know when I get a tingle in my belly and I'm all excited and I want to go toward that and ask for something if I want something. And if I get a clench in my belly when someone asks me out to dinner, I want to honor that and say, no, thank you.
What a fantastic practice. I love that it's embodied, because I know for myself and a lot of others that I know that can be the piece that we're missing. A lot of times we go up, up, up into spirit realm, or people talk about ascension now, but we really need to value and understand the other side of that, that I chose to come into this body and how can I see it as valuable and understand its wisdom. And I love how that integrates on our spiritual journey with this practice.
I do too. I came across a saying, it was in Anna, grandmother of Jesus, just the other day. And she says, there's a path to the divine that's immersed in the senses. Isn't that beautiful? So yeah, exactly. So I follow my own path to the divine has always been very embodied, because my sexual and spiritual paths have always been really intertwined. I say always, I mean, once I started my spiritual path, it wasn't most of my life.
Can you tell us about that story? I always love to hear people's spiritual journey and how they kind of traverse that.
Cool. I'd love to. So I was so agnostic atheist for so much of my life, right? And I was just doing what my parents taught me to do and going to school and being a good student and going out into the world. And I became a lawyer. When I went out of high school to college, I looked in the UT Austin catalog and it was so big. There were so many courses, but I went straight to philosophy. And so I got a degree in philosophy. And then went to law school because I wanted to see how ideas are put into effect. So it was still a search for ideas, but the ideas that people make other people do. And after I was 20 plus years as a trial attorney with my own office here in Austin.
Wow.
I had an office between the courthouse and the state house over there. So I also was lobbying for social justice causes. And we passed a lot of bills at the Texas legislature. But that whole career, 20 plus years, I always represented people, never a company or never the government, always represented individuals standing up for their rights. And it's just funny now looking back on it, because I see the world as for like love and acceptance versus control and possession. And my whole life was built around controlling other people, whether I was in court or whether I was in the legislature arguing, we should have these laws, we should do this, people should do that. It's actually embarrassing now. But one day I came upon a very deep depression, which I'm not going to go belabor that a lot, but I fell into a really deep depression just like when I was 38 years old. My boyfriend and I had broken up, and I realized my life is so empty. It just has nothing. Everything is meaningless in my life. And I actually spent a year doing nothing but eliminating the meaningless parts. And so I was just really going to work and coming home like, I'm not going to do anything that's meaningless anymore. I need to earn the money, go to work. But other than that, everything seemed so useless. And after a year of that, so I guess I'm a slow learner, I was sitting in my living room one day and a sexual fantasy came through my beingness that I had had many times before. But I noticed in my body, there was a tingle in my belly. And it literally, that tingle changed my life, because it was like, wait a minute, that must mean something. That's got to mean something. Nothing else stirred anything in me. And so I don't know why I knew back then, before FetLife, to go to the computer and type in Austin BDSM, but my fantasy had some possession and control in it. And I typed that in, and the kink community was vibrant in Austin. And there was a lot of information online about meetings and also safety measures and ethical precautions and negotiations and protocols. And I was so surprised. And I couldn't believe that people were figuring out how to do these things together in this ethical way. It was so amazing that I went to my first meeting in that way. And I have never still been around people who are more accepting than that community. And it was just so much joy in my heart. And then, of course, as I walked into that community, I started expressing myself sexually. And I realized this one sexual fantasy I'd had my whole adult life, I'd never shared it with anyone. When I was almost 40 years old and was finally able to not only share that, but live it out. And once I was a couple months into that community, I thought, what else is hidden in this city? This is back around 2006. But I'm like, I'm going to find every underground community in Austin, Texas. And it was awesome. It was so fun. And I came across the Toltec Center of Creative Intent and Heather Ash Amara. And Heather Ash had a free evening, and I went in because I was exploring all the communities. And I left with my body giving me the second big signal. My heart space was so expanded when I left. I was like, I was floating to my car through the parking lot. And again, it was like, what is this? All of my spirituality and all the philosophy and study and all of this had been so conceptual. I thought I had learned every spiritual system there existed in the world, which I had not, but I thought I had. And it was all so conceptual, but this actually lit my body up. And so I spent 7 years with the crazy, goofy, amazing Toltec community in Austin and ended up apprenticing with Heather Ash Amara and Raven Smith. And I'm in the Eagle Knight Toltec lineage. And the Toltecs are so fun. And those two ended up splitting and the community ended up breaking up here in Austin. But I wish it still existed. And just to bring that all the way around, we did so many fun things. Like, Toltecs are very tricky and silly, and we challenge reality over and over. And so we were doing things like firewalks and bending rebar between our necks, like breaking arrows on our chest and walking on glass. It's not all we did, but we had like all these fun things that would just show us over and over what you believe in is not true. And we just had a great time learning about integrity. And that was a really embodied journey. And I bring that to the circle right now because I now realize I want to recreate that community here in Austin. I really miss that. Really getting together and being in nature a lot and having awesome games and lots of ritual and trying to stay connected to the divine in every moment and realizing that could look like anything. Since then, I have also done a lot of years with the Satyananda yoga tradition, including going to Northern India to visit an ashram to take some direct transmission of some higher practices. As well, I've also taken a deep journey, and that journey is a tantric journey in the yogic tradition. And another current journey I'm really deep in is the Tao, and I'm an instructor in Universal Healing Tao. And that's my actual practice. The only thing I've layered on top of all of that now, which has blown my mind, which is really how I found you, Diana, is the extraterrestrial world. Off-planet wisdom has finally come into my world, and it's just exploded me in every direction. I feel like I'm flying and floating and so grateful for this experience. Thanks for listening to my story.
Yeah, absolutely. That part about you exploring all the hidden communities in Austin, that sounded amazing, actually. That's something that I would probably find a lot of joy in doing as well.
Highly recommend it.
Yeah.
And after the lockdowns now, I feel like people are back going out and doing things again now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you'd find a lot.
Yeah, definitely. Tiana mentioned to me before you joined the call that you also are aware of the Law of One. So have you read most of it, or?
Oh yeah, I've read it, and I go to the Law of One study group. Like a good student.
Oh right, is that the one that Luis runs?
Yeah, Luis's group.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So, yes.
Luis was on our podcast ages ago when we first started. Yeah.
Yay.
So, the way that everything comes around full circle in Austin, yeah, is really fun.
All circles here.
Mm-hmm.
So, are you into that, Tim?
Yeah, very much so. I actually went to Luis's very first meeting. And that's how we found each other. And I've been friends with Luis ever since. And yeah, because I was really into the Law of One, you know, a while back, years ago. And I wanted to know if anybody else was. And Tiana actually pointed me out to, like, his announcement. I would have never saw it, but she saw it somewhere. And yeah, I went to Luis's meeting. And it's been an incredible journey, meeting all the people and just getting to know the Law of One, because it's fairly deep too. There's a lot to it. So yeah, it's a life changer for sure. And it's funny, like, who gets touched by the Law of One. Like, you can really tell there's a certain type of person that really is attracted to that material for some reason. I don't know why, but yeah, I happen to be one of those people too.
That's so great. I can't imagine anyone not just going crazy after getting exposed to the Law of One. I mean, I guess I don't know that many people yet in it, but it seems like everyone I meet who's gotten into it is an enthusiast. For me, it really, like I told you, I was studying philosophy. I've studied all these different traditions on earth, and man, does that bring it all together, doesn't it? Wow, does that bring it all together. And Anna, Grandmother of Jesus, have you been into that book, Tim, by chance?
What is it called again?
Anna, Grandmother of Jesus.
Okay, no.
The only reason I'm bringing this up is because Anna, the grandmother of Jesus, lived like 800 years because she learned rejuvenation practices in Egypt, and she ties Law of One with Jesus. Jesus studied Law of One.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, all this stuff is truly fascinating to me. Like, all these. What was the other book that you mentioned before, Tiana, before we started the call?
Oh, the Barbara Marciniak one. I always forget if it's Bringers of the New Dawn or Bringers of the Dawn. Yeah.
Okay, Bringers of the
Dawn. These are all books. Well, not the Anna. That one I have, but I haven't read yet, the grandmother. But the Law of One and the Bringers of the Dawn, I read those so many years ago. And it's fun now to go back, because that was like at the beginning of my journey. And then decades later, to go back and read them and then also have other people that are interested in them. Like you're saying, Tim, about like, when I read the Law of One, there was like nobody in my life that was interested in it. And it's so interesting now, years later, how it's super popular in spiritual circles, not in the world itself, but there's a growing number of people that are really interested. So it's kind of fun how everything's sort of popped and people are ready for this information that has come through these, both the Barbara Marciniak and the Law of One stuff is like from the 80s. It's from a long time ago, but really now people are at the point where they're understanding these things. And so it's fun. But what I really like about River, about what you were saying about your journey, I love how balanced and integrated you are with that. Because again, stuff like the Law of One or alien stuff or whatever that goes really cosmic, or it's very mental and people love these ideas. But if you don't have some sort of embodiment practice, it's like, oh, you're just going to follow this idea or that idea. And even when we had the Law of One for the Austin Spiritual Awakening Law of One meetup and we discussed it, some people are like, how do you know if this is true? And I think that's a really great question to always ask yourself on the spiritual journey. How do you know if something's true? Well, there needs to be a place within you. You need to have some practice or process or method where you connect to yourself in your authentic self, in your deepest truth, and sense and feel or know what's true for you. Otherwise, there's so many ideas, especially nowadays, right? We have access to all sorts of ideas, and it's great to explore them. And I certainly have over the years, but also we could just be like floating with the wind, following any idea if there's not something that sort of pings in us and says like, oh, this is for me right now. And so I really love the embodiment practices. It's been something that I've been challenged with and working on a lot in the years, realizing that yes, we are all one. Yes, we are immortal, you know, eternal spiritual beings. And I chose to have this individualized physical experience of embodiment in this lifetime now. And so we can't disregard that.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, Law of One talks about how we have a very beautiful opportunity here in these bodies. This is very unique, right? And it's almost like coveted, maybe, it's debatable, but this is basically a very unique opportunity. One of the points, I think it was in that book, it was talking about when I'm out of my body before or after this lifetime, it's really hard to affect change in the world, like floating around. I'm imagining all these floating beings, like trying to push each other and pull each other. And nothing moves. I don't know how it all works exactly, but it's like we can't push and pull things around as much. Whereas we get in here in these beautiful moments we have in these bodies, and we can pull and push. We can do things for people. We can open the door for our neighbor. We can, you know what I mean, take care of other people and slingshot, they say, slingshot our karma forward in this lifetime. And for me, that has to do with fully understanding this physical instrument I'm in, right? Because that's what I'm gifted with here. That's the beauty of this moment, as I have this instrument and it's so sophisticated. And it's so capable of magic. And we sit and think that we aren't magic, but that's the biggest tragedy we have in our society that I think we are in. I think we've been brainwashed into thinking we're not. But it's this instrument that is the beginning of that magic. We have to understand it, right, in order to go to these other higher levels. And then I can learn to meditate while I'm with my body, not outside of it.
Beautiful. You made me think of a message that had come through recently from my spirit guides. And here I was like thanking them so much. And I was receiving all this energy. And they were reminding me, like they were saying, but you're the boots on the ground for us. And so, you know, you have a very important role. All of us, we're the boots on the ground. Like you said, there's all of these loving higher beings that really want to help this shift that we're going through on the planet of spiritual awakening and raising the vibration and doing this cleansing and healing on the planet energetically with our frequency. But we're the boots on the ground. They can share that energy. But like you said, who's going to hug their neighbor or who's going to, you know, do something for the earth? We are the ones that have the physical bodies that we can, you know, help the animals and help the earth and help ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. And also this journey with our bodies in the Law of One, I think it is. Again, I hope I'm not saying the wrong book, but we have such access to this huge range of emotions and experiences here while we're in these bodies. And I think it's Law of One where they talk about some beings come down into the body and they cannot handle the intense emotions that we feel here and all of these crazy things that happen, not to mention the violence and the darkness that is right here on Earth with us. And I think they talked about how they were surprised when they came down the first time thousands of years ago by our warlike nature. They weren't expecting that because their experience through the human experience was more loving, apparently. But I just reflect on the intensity of what we have access to also in these bodies and the opportunity, therefore, right, to work with that intensity and become an artist of that, of our spirit, and dance with all of those intensities and, again, catapult ourselves forward in who we really are. Our whole soul can move forward.
When you say the word like catapult or slingshot, oh, I get so excited. Yeah. And I love the languaging, because it matters, the languaging that we use and the lens that we choose to see this experience through. And so when you say like dance with the polarities or the energies, that feels really good, right? Rather than we're struggling or fighting against or resisting, we are creating something, just really being conscious of how we choose to look at or embrace this human experience in all of its intensity is really helpful, I think.
Nice.
So you have this model that you shared with us. You had this drawing. Speaking of the way that we want to look at things, I think it can really help sometimes to have a model of perception of our experiences. Is that something that you would want to talk about now?
Yeah, I'd love to. I'd love to share about the model that's been coming through me lately. Also, it ties in with the earlier story that I have been a deeply spiritual human being since 2006 when I woke up to the whole ball of wax, you could say. As I got into my Toltec journey, what we learned there together is that we're not ready to serve yet when we first start our spiritual journey. That's what I was taught. It's not, you're not ready. Don't try to go out and run out and teach other people things yet. Wait, just wait. You'll know when. So it was 5 years into that journey when Spirit gave me the very clear message in a ritual, you're here on earth to be a sexual healer. And I heard it and I remember sitting up and I was like, okay, I got it. I got it. I got that message. And so every day since then has been just me asking what to do next. And yet with all that spiritual kind of guidance or like the way that that is prioritized in my life, all the marketers had been telling me, don't talk about spirituality in your work. You'll lose people. Make your stuff secular, remove the spiritual stuff. And that has been the wisdom, marketing, quote unquote, wisdom for like the past decade. And just recently, just with Law of One, even, it was in the last 6 months as I discovered that, I realized, no, I'm not keeping that in anymore. That's not okay anymore. And what I really want to talk about is our immortality and how we are here as immortal creators. And the faster we realize and recognize that and remember that we are immortal creators here on earth and that we have an opportunity to take an embodied path toward becoming really powerful immortal creators. Then I started coming together with this pyramid. And on one side of the pyramid is embodied creativity. And we can walk up the pyramid in levels of getting embodied in our creativity. And I would say that's where all of my teachings have been on that one side of the pyramid is, well, the two sides, embodied creativity, because you don't have to talk about spirit, I find, to get magic. So I have been talking about magic and all those powers, but really not weaving it in with spirit, I would say. And then the second side of the pyramid that I think is so important is our sexual energy. And I also find that a lot of different, whether it's a spiritual tradition or a secular tradition, loves to skip over sexuality. That's just a favorite area to skip over. And I find that that is the most potent energy in the human body. Mm-hmm. And because it is so potent, again, we can either learn to dance with it and use it in a way that serves us and become sexually sovereign, or in this case, if we ignore it, it usually creates very serious problems in life. So this is one where ignore it and you're very likely to start to turn against you and actually harm you, either through going dormant or turning into something that sometimes looks like kind of an insatiable appetite, right? But an unhealthy sexuality. In other words, to me, it's not okay to ignore. So I make that one side of the pyramid and we can walk up the pyramid from an embodied place inside sexuality also. And I've mainly been in that space of sexuality for a decade now. And the third side of the pyramid now is spirituality. And I'm so glad to be bringing that in really specifically and working with people in a really out way about how we can work with other dimensions to amplify our power in the world. So thanks for asking about that.
Yeah, I know this term is overused. It's like the patriarchy, but let's just say the lower masculine energy, right? Because masculine energy and feminine energy, they're both equally important. But because we were taught that our bodies were born in sin and these bodies have these evil impulses and sex is bad and all of this stuff. And so much the body being the representation of the mother of Mother Earth and then spirit of Father Sky, you want to look at it like that. Yeah, I think that's becoming more and more spoken about. It used to be taboo. There were spiritual practices like asceticism where they just totally ignored any of their body's needs and just wanted to go up in spirit again. But we're finding how to create that integrated place of the body and spirit, or spirit and matter, and so forth. And I'm so glad that you're comfortable in that now. I do think that's a journey, even for myself, for the things that I do with hypnosis and Reiki. When I first started my practice, I was sort of making it secular as well, because I was thinking like, oh, I don't want to be that weird woo-woo person. It's going to turn off all of these people that come to my website if I use too spiritual languaging or something like that, when really that's who I am. Somebody had once said, I don't remember the exact quote, but if you try to appeal to everyone, you appeal to no one. And I think it's so true. More and more now we see that. Now that we have social media and people have their YouTube and their TikTok and their blog and all of these things where people are expressing very uniquely, very individualistically, that's our gift, right? Like, your whole journey is so unique to you, and all the really cool things that you've done and explored. And like you said, going into these underground communities and all of these stuff, like, there's no one that has that exact same journey as you. And so, yeah, what I found is the more that I put myself into my business and put it out there, then people who were just the right match for that are so much more drawn to that versus just kind of vanilla expression. So whether that's with our spirituality, woo, whatever you want to call it, or whether that's with our sexuality, we're finding like we don't have to compartmentalize these things anymore, that there's an integrated place where they all work together, and that our body is part of our spirituality and our sexuality is part of our spirituality. And so I love how steeped you are in all of that together. And this model is a wonderful way that you're bringing it all together.
Thanks so much. Yeah. In fact, Tim, Law of One goes quite a bit into sexuality, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was going to bring that up. They do talk about it. And it's one of the reasons I feel like maybe there's so much sexual repression happening in the world today, is because it is so powerful. And used in a proper way, like, you can really draw a lot of energy into you and your partner or whoever, right? Because that's what they talk about in the Law of One, is this person is a woman and she's channeling this material through her, right? And so it takes a lot of energy to do that. And she starts to suffer through some health issues because of that constant, like, energy transfer through her. And so they say, one way to remedy that is for her and her partner to experience sexual energy together, and that transfer happens, like, he can transfer the energy to her, and it's quite effective, apparently. And they always recommend for her to do that. And so, yeah, they do talk about that a lot. And I have thought about this topic of sexuality in the United States and in the Western world in general. And most countries, even in the Eastern countries, there is a lot of sexual repression happening. And you're right, it does manifest in our society in strange ways. In one particular way that's really disturbing is violence against women. And I feel like the source of much of the violence against women is sexual repression. And so I think once we start to correct this issue in our culture, then we will see massive transformation happen, because sexuality, like you were just saying, is a huge part of life. That's our birthright. Like, that's one of our gifts that we were given when we were born. And so, you know, it even goes so far in our culture now, is people pretend like they don't have bodies. They cover them up like there's nothing under there, right? Like, they're ashamed of what's there. And that's part of the sexual repression. And that's sad too, because that can cause a lot of problems for people as well. Like, the body image, the self-image someone has of their own body can be distorted because of that shame that they carry with them. So there are so many things that we can fix just by addressing this issue of sexuality, right? Because, yeah, I think we have a ways to go. But, yeah, hopefully, like, the younger generations coming up are figuring it out. And I think they are. They're much more open about their sexuality in general, like who they prefer or what they prefer and what they choose to call it and all these things. So there is an evolution sort of happening with it. But yeah, I think many of the older generations are still stuck in this like way of thinking that maybe they haven't thought about yet. And maybe it's not intentional, but maybe they just grew up with those ideas and never really questioned them. So yeah, there's a lot to unpack there for sure.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. I love that you're so familiar with Law of One. And one of the funny things they talk about there is that I thought was funny is how when we're humans, they're like, you humans, you do a lot of chit-chatting before you have sex, don't you? They're like, yeah, you seem to talk about a lot of very irrelevant things at first for a long time before you get together. And they're like, we don't do that up here. We just kind of like get together and feel each other. And we have sexual, whatever kind of experience that could be outside of the human realm. And then afterward, we talk about whatever we need to talk about. But they're like, you exchange things like what you do for a living and da 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 da. I'm like, why do you talk about all those things?
You know, it is interesting to think of that way because people feel an attraction for one another and it's a really deep kind of thing. It's like a soul level thing. But we go through all the steps, right? Like the human steps. Yeah, it's funny.
Especially with all the different cultural traditions, they just start to look pretty silly when you step back and look at how different they all are. And then I just want to say that I just love this book, Anna, Grandmother of Jesus. I think it's kind of a companion to Magdalene Manuscript in a way. It's not officially that, but to me, in my heart, it is. For the reason I want to just bring out here that Anna, Grandmother of Jesus, was deeply steeped in sexual ritual and practice and trainings throughout her extensive life. And then she was part of that with her daughter, of course. And then, of course, Mary Magdalene and her mother. These were all light-conceived humans. These were all very deeply steeped in the sexual energy transfer. And so Jesus and Mary Magdalene, his lover, were very, I want to say that sexual energy work seems like it was a central part of their spiritual power. And I just want to bring that out also.
Yeah, more and more of that is coming to light where for so long, right, people thought, and of course, still so many people think that Mary Magdalene was this prostitute or all of this kind of thing. And again, it makes sense in a bigger picture of making sexuality and feminine energy because it's threatening to the power over structure. So we have to make it bad or evil or sinful and so forth. And so I think more people are opening to that idea of Jesus and Mary Magdalene being equals, counterparts, divine counterparts, and even her being an equal, not just even like his sidekick kind of thing that was back behind the scenes supporting, but like the equal feminine counterpart of him. And that, yeah, like you said, the sexual energies might have been part of the big awakening energies that they were bringing to the planet. It's a really interesting topic that we haven't delved into deep on the podcast before, that of course a lot of people would be really angry with, a lot of Christians would be really angry with this take on it. But on this podcast, we'll talk about all sorts of things and talk about aliens and other things that people won't
yeah, I just,
believe in.
I just want to mention real quick, since you kind of made me think that a lot of the repression that happens from our governments and through religion is, it's about power and control, right? So they're trying to control us. And it just made me think all of a sudden, it was like this little aha moment. And I'm sure a lot of people have had this moment about this topic in general, is that they wanted to control the way we thought about sex and the way we do sexual activities because the woman holds a tremendous amount of power in that situation where there's sexual freedom, right? So in order to suppress the power of the females, they came up with all these silly rules and ways about doing things. And so then it was just like half of the power was already lost at that point for us, for all the people in general. And yeah, like you were saying, Tiana, like this is the time in history where that power comes back to us and the feminine power steps into her true power and then combines with the male power that's already kind of in charge here right now. And so then I think when that combination happens is when we're really going to see these institutions crumble, because they won't have anything to stand on anymore. We'll have all our power back, and we'll have our understanding and awareness, and that's really where the power is. So I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, regardless of whether we're in a biological male or biological female body, right, we have both energies, and absolutely stepping all of us into our feminine empowerment and evolving from the lower masculine to the evolved masculine. Well, so first the feminine higher evolved energy gets activated, and then it needs to be embodied, as we were talking about. I think we were just talking about this maybe like an episode or two ago, Tim, maybe last episode. And our guest was like, or you were saying even, Tim, oh, when are the men going to wake up? And I'm like, oh no, the men are waking up. The men are waking up. But the feminine energy is the spark. And then we create the inspiration. And then the masculine energy is inspired by that and then takes action. And that's all happening right now. It's really exciting, whether it's on an individual level and then also on the collective, depending on where we want to put our focus and attention to. Because of course, you can see a lot of really not pretty things as well going on in the world. So River, are there certain things that you do that we haven't touched on or that you're offering right now that you want to share so that people who are listening can maybe get a taste of what you do or find out more about what you offer?
Thanks for asking about that. I have events going on in Austin typically. And so I have always done all my work in person so far. And I offer one-on-one. So basically, come to the Austin Sacred Sexuality meetup sometime if you want to just meet. We've been at Casa de Luz meeting there. Just go to my website, riverroaring.com, and click on calendar, and you'll get all the events. But we have Sacred Sexuality Austin events coming up. I also co-organize East Austin Kinksters meetup if you are kinky. And if you want to go deeper than that, we have these weekend workshops where I was talking about. It's really the embodiment come in for the weekend. It's a small group, deep journey into a very deep level of embodiment that's very significant. A lot, most people leave with a lot of new practiced skills and embodiment. And then if you want to go really deep, I go one-on-one with people. But everything's at riverroaring.com. And I especially would love to see people in Austin at the events, Sacred Sexuality and East Austin Kinksters, because we have a lot of fun. And I love playing with people in Austin. And I'm really excited that this is mainly an Austin audience, I think, and that you guys are in Austin. We're all in Austin. We're all Austin people. It's all Austin.
And all the people who are not in Austin, please don't feel left out.
I don't have to make you feel left out. But it's just a love And so basically riverroaring.com/calendar.
Wonderful.
Awesome. Yeah. I did want to ask you more about some of your experiences along your journey where you were going into these hidden communities and the things that you learned, but maybe there's the next time we'll get to talk about
maybe
that.
Maybe there's a next time for that. Yeah. But there's also, I'm sure there's a lot of new ones now, you know?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. The kind of times that we're in, different things will keep popping up. And oftentimes when I have clients and they say like, there's nobody who gets me, or I don't know anybody who kind of has the same, you know, ideas or perspective, I'm always like, maybe you should start a meetup. Maybe you should create a community and attract people. So I'm always encouraging people to do that. If it doesn't exist, then maybe you're the one that's meant to create that. I think that the same way, like, oh, maybe you need to create your own YouTube channel, right? Like that we all get to have a voice. We all get to create a community. Sometimes people are just sitting there and feeling, oh, it's so lonely. But it's like, well, you don't have to just sit there. You can put yourself out there. It's scary initially, but also it's very freeing. I often make jokes with Tim about like, gosh, that first time when we put our first episodes out, how I had this moment of like, oh my gosh, anybody can find all my crazy stories. And this person speaks to disembodied beings and people that don't even know me and get to find out that I'm normal. My stories are out there. But then actually it's really freeing. So the same kind of thing that we're saying with our websites, right? Putting it out there more. So I think that we're in times when people are feeling more empowered to really be their authentic self in the world. And that through that, that's how we find those others that really resonate with us. So if you're not in Austin, create something like I created with the Austin Spiritual Awakening group. And that was really because my clients kept telling me that, oh, I have nobody to talk to about. And I'm like, oh, you all just need to meet. Let's just create a gathering where you guys can all talk to each other. And so wherever you live, you can do that. And if you live in a town of population of 10 people, then create it virtual or something. But there's a value in spending time alone on our path for sure, and getting to know ourselves and loving being with ourselves. And there's no reason why any of us have to feel totally isolated anymore. There's so many people that are waking up every day as well. So,
and yeah. You're so good about encouraging people to bring their gifts out, Tiana. And also, I want to thank you for organizing Austin Spiritual Awakening, which is such a great meetup in Austin and a great example of where people can actually go and find like-minded people in this area, at least. And thank you for all that you do to contribute to the community, bring people together, and having this podcast. That's such an amazing resource. And thanks for inviting me. I just really am honored to be with both you and Tim today. And Tim, it's been great to get to know you today.
Yeah, likewise.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been a pleasure having you on. Like I said, I have that Anna book and I haven't read it, but now you made it sound really exciting. So I want to go back and read that again. So thanks for that.
It's on Audible too. That's the only way I got through it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I'm going to read Bringers of the Dawn now too. Yeah.
Cool. I want to recommend Alien Interview if you guys haven't read that one, if you're looking at a different book. Oh, it's really incredible. It's amazingly the Roswell crash in 47, right? There was a live being still alive after the crash who spoke. So there was an army nurse who was the only one able to telepathically hear this being, and the army had her in there. And there's a really interesting story behind it, but she saved the transcripts. They didn't realize she had a copy of those transcripts. And right before she died, she let them release them. And so it's directly from the mouth of that alien who landed in Roswell and didn't die. It's insane.
Oh, wow. I've never heard of that.
I've heard about that. Not the transcript or anything. No, I'll have to read that. Yeah.
It's just a reading of the transcript. It's insane. It's awesome.
Wow. I'm going to have to check that out. Yeah, for sure. That's my topic right there. Like extraterrestrials. I love that topic.
Cool.
Yeah. So this has been great, River.
This has been so fun. Thank you both.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you.
I hope to see you at one of the meetups in the future.
Yeah, Tim, we'd like to get you back to the meetup.
Definitely.
Yeah, come on, Tim.
Yeah. No, I'll go. Yeah,
no pressure.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, we have him on a recording saying.
Yeah, it's going, yeah. So. Save this part.
Yeah. All right.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, it was a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Beyond the Illusion. I'd like to say thank you very much to River for taking the time to talk with us and for sharing her gifts and knowledge with us. If you'd like to find out more about River and her offerings, you can find them at riverroaring.com. And that's spelled riverroaring.com. Thanks to everyone that made this podcast possible. Produced and hosted by Tim Howe and Tiana Roser. Music by Casey Henson. For more information about us or to access past episodes, please visit beyondtheillusionpodcast.com. Thank you to everyone that left a rating for us. This really does help other people find us. Thanks again, and take care.